Thomas is better on the screen. Discussing the issue of Hadafa Yedei Hadchak. Here we go. Watch this. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Afilu Chnisa Lomer Shvachos Kofal Asos Shabbatola Mevila Dezima. Pirush Rabbi Elazar. Shein the Kofal Asos Hashir Aniskel Kamon Samach Dalam Beis Five Sloim. Should do something. Masha Osa the Baal Havi, what she does belongs to the husband. We saw the Ran yesterday. Watch this now. Aval gav the Ovda Meritzona Vishalo Bechiyuf. Was again by his soul. We thought until now that whatever she does, because she has to do it, belongs to the husband. Whatever she volunteers does not belong to the husband, right? Here he's saying now that Hadafa Yedei Hadchak belongs to the husband, even though she didn't have to do it. Whoa. So we have to now get involved in discussion. The Yeshitchos. The Shani Hadafa. The Kaven Shi Mechuyeves Lasas Lo Iker Masi Yadeha. In other words, she's required to do mask yadayim up to five sloyim per week. Watch this now. Asu es hatofel ki ikar v'ziku lo hadafasa. Since she has to do five sloyim, she worked extra hard, did six sloyim. So they made this tough for the sixth stella, the first five sloyim. That is the only reason why hadafa de'etchak belongs to the husband, according to that opinion, Tanakam. Aval b'zu, namely, that she did ten shvachos there. The only reason she's doing it for her is to keep her out of trouble. The shura is that they need to pture min ha'ikar. Ben osa lekei shulav etol tovel is a zima. Therefore, no. Masha osa osa liatzva. Keinirali. Keinirali. In other words, he rejects both svaras. That's good. I think people are a little bit, need a little bit of review. We saw the Rav Osai, the Ran. Let's turn to the Ran. It's the Chazer. Chafeim and Beis in the old print. This we did see a chair yesterday. We didn't have a chair to show the Ritva yesterday, but the Ritva was a response to what we saw earlier. Okay, he doesn't give any names. Pirush Rabosai, we'll see soon some of these very famous names that we had read quickly yesterday. Let's just reanalyze it again today. Okay, so we have Chafeim and Beis in the Ran. Ayin Gimel. Halach Rebbe Elazar. Miu mashma she'ena chayemus lasas mishkol chamesh shloim al kadeh shlote yom she'es the potato. That's the same as the first line of the original. The Yesh Omrim, the Malachta, the Dohab. Some say the Malachta belongs to her. Belongs to her. Not what the Ritva reports. The Kevin Shein Mechayim and also Elo Kadesh and Tavu Lezima Kol She'osu Ben Achayim and Atzma Ozla Hutam. So therefore belongs to her. This is in fact the Maskon of the Ritva at the end. Can you really? Avol Arash Bezal Kosav the Mistabra Lo Odev Me'adof Ha'udei Adchak the Havya the Baal Afo Pi She'osu Meritzona Velo Matoros Chiv. So how did the Ritva knock off this riot? No! Hadafa is different because it's tougher to the Iker. The Ran is a different verb. What did Ran say? Without the Mal, the call Hadafa Biritzona Nasis, the Afal Pikain, the Knuel of Baal Tachas Mokesa, Bafia Hadafa Shadi Adchak, Lemisha Posekain, Umayinin Zelikan. What's he saying over here? Let's Chazer again. The Rashba says it belongs to the husband. Even though she does it, there it's so no, below me Torah's here. That's what the Rashba says. OK? Okay? Let's you read around together. We went through too quickly yesterday, and I want to make sure we get it right. Need your help. What does the Ran mean in the next line? V'lo yadati mal. He doesn't understand what this is. Why? The kol hadafa biritzona nasis. Always does it on her own. Afa became a knua lebal tanas mokesim. So what's he saying? In other words, the Rashba says that even though it's done biritzona, it still goes to the husband. So what is the Ran? How's Ran arguing? Sounds like he's repeating the same thing. The lawyer datu mal, the kol hadafa biritzona nasis. In other words, whether it's adei atchak or na adei atchak, afal pikein iknuah lebal tachas mo kesef. Vafilu hadafa shadei atchak the misha posikein uma inyan zeh lekan. What's he driving at? He says, what's it to hadafa shadei atchak? But I think he's saying, right? So therefore, what sounds like he's saying, that based on this logic, it should really belong to her. Because the next two lines he says, Avokar ba'dav alomar, shibtei malach b'liatzma, kevan shlotik starach lach shim ma'bal, tis bat l'batav alezima. So for another reason, you have to give it to him. And the Mefarshim, by the way, we saw this yesterday in Shir, if she's entitled to his nichsei, to the nichsei, to the peiros, because even if it belongs to her, it's nichsei malug, then this Ram makes no sense. Because even if it belongs to her, the husband, she has to make a reckoning with the husband because he gets the peiros. Implication of this Ram is that hers means completely hers. We saw machlokas and Rishonim about this point 2 days in Tosfos perhaps. But I want you to help me read the intervening two lines. What's he driving at? It seems he's clearly driving in the direction opposite of the Rashi. The Rashba says, has to go to the Baal, hadafa de'atchak, even though she doesn't bring son of a lobe torosi. Now the Abloy Adi Baal, and then the meaning of the next two lines is that it's by right should go to her. Now I understand why the Ritva said what he said. The Ritva said it should go to her, only hadafa is considered to be tuffel to the Ika. That's not the Ransvar. What is the Ransvar? Can you help me understand it?
The Ran's giving a psychological. He's saying if she actually believed it was hers, yeah, then she wouldn't do it, and therefore she'd have time in her hands, and she would come to Zima. So therefore, that's it belongs to the Baal, so that she doesn't have that alternative.
That's what the Ran himself says. I know what the Ran himself says. That's very beautiful what he says. That if there's no accountability, she'll just slap off and get involved in trouble. That's the Ran said. For those on my page, what do the first two lines mean on page Ayin Dalet? Those are the other pages. It's right before, I don't know how to tell you where it is. It's somewhere in the middle of Chafei and Beis. Let's read it again. The call had, right? Let's read it one more time. The call hadafa biritzona nasix. Or hadafa, she does on her own. Afa became hiknua lebal takasmo kesa. So you get an impression from the Ran that the whole premise is incorrect. The premise that we started out with, whatever you do on your own belongs to you. That it can't be. All Adafa she does on her own, Afa became it belongs to him. There's no dispute about Adafa Shaloya de Atchak. Once he gives her the Mo Kesef. So the Mo Kesef acquires that, even though he can't compel her to do it. From what I understand. So therefore she belongs to the husband anyway. Afi Adafa de Atchak, the Misha Posek came. She goes to the husband anyway. Umayyad al-Khan. So means she goes to the husband anyway. And he says, you know what? It goes to the husband. You know why? Because otherwise she's not going to make a cheshem with him. So all roads are leading in the same direction. She belongs to the husband. So I'm just not reading. I'm missing a piece. Maybe you should look at the Chidushi around. Sometimes the Chidushi around has something which makes things more clear.
He's disagreeing with the
Rashba,
though, isn't
it? It seems that he's going in the opposite direction. The Rashba to go to the husband, and he is giving an explanation why, in fact, it should go to the wife. But last minute, he changed his mind. So that's called Avdan for some separate reason. I'm just not able to read it properly. Let's see if we can find it in the Chiddushim over here.
What if the logic of the Ritva in extending the Tefillin?
That's a very important piece of logic, because the Ritva is saying that this is a special situation because its Tefillin is given the same status as the Ikar.
Why?
A good question. I don't know why. But that's what he says. I'm not arguing with why.
Is it arguable that the tach there means that she's forced to do that work? That's the obligatory work. Since she's doing the obligatory work, the voluntary work is tougher. But she's working already. It's not like she can't work. So a little extra, so it's a little lesser, so it's tougher.
Could be right. I don't know. I'm just leaving it with a question. Okay? If we can figure this out down the road, there's someone shouting the rhyme better than I'm just not fully understanding what he's driving. Fine. Rabosai, we now go back to this same episode in the Mar Makoma, so that I did ask you to see.
He starts off also with a different premise. He starts off that the reason she's supposed to do this is only because of Zima, not because of
Shimu. Yeah, there are two reasons.
That's a big difference.
Correct. Two days in the Mishnah. Well, let me show you now what I asked you to see. Again, I hope you figured out the mistake that I made. I told you about yesterday, slight mistake in the Makoros. I had a different edition. Towards the beginning of the Sheet of Mekuvetz, it's not Tessim enough. All this, we both say, from the very beginning, Ravada, till the very end of the paragraph, comes from Ad Kan Lashon HaRa'ah. The whole thing is from the Ra'ah. I mean, he says Ra'ah over here. I think the whole thing's in the Ra'ah, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, just letting you know. That's what I think. So I asked you to see two pieces in this paragraph, which again, in the print that I have, the Ramaskal Ve'im.
But he's taken
away
the quid pro quo argument of the Gemara. That's where he's going even further.
Correct.
Once you take away the quid pro quo argument, it's a whole different stuff.
Correct. But the point that the Ra'ah makes is the point which we originally saw in the Ran, which he seems to go move away from. And the point that he makes is that it's impossible to expect the husband to get Masya Deha if she never had to do it in the first place. And that's what we're going to see over here now.
No, but the Ran is going back to the Yesharim. Before the Rashi.
Well, that's what you mean.
Yeah. So that's how it reads. It's using the same Rashi.
Let's chazer again. The Yesh Omrim, the Malach, the Dohavi, the Kave, and then the Chayv, and also the Yesh Omrim, the Zimo, Kosha also ben Achem, ben Latzal, also the time. Okay. So the Adat and Malach also have the Yesh Omrim. They agree with the Rashba. The Rashba says it belongs to the husband.
Right.
And the Yesh Omrim disagree. And he said, Le'adati Mal, what are the Yeshavim saying? And what must the Rash, why must the Rashba have to say that it's introduced as a Yatchak? Get a Yatchak. All Adafa goes to him. But then the question is, then Abel Karov Adafa Lomar.
She didn't go back.
What do you need that for? He had to go to the husband even without that sir.
But he wants to go the opposite direction.
No, but he said it belongs to him for another reason. If it all belongs to her, there'll be no accounting, she's not going to do it. That's why it goes to him. But if I read the first two lines, it goes to him for yet another reason. Because the whole premise is wrong. But here, this is what we're all holds in the premise. Watch this. How can you force it to Mosa? She's not required to do Mosa. Yes, Shlomo. Amazing Kiddush. B'shesh Shlima Maisi Odeh B'tokha Shabbos. She is required to do 5 slar work in a week. When does the week start? When does the week end? Week starts on Sunday morning and ends on Friday afternoon. Okay? And Sunday and Monday, in 2 days, she's so quick, she did 5 slar. Now she's like, I'm going to the beach. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I was sitting at the beach. Maybe the day Zima, Rabbi said. He can force her to continue working. Even though she fulfilled her quota. That's what the Ra'ah says, a Chiddush. He says, "Kol falls shalot to battle. Lo midin mishnah seinu." Not just because of the zima as such. Shabbat tolem aviyah deshimo the zima. Me'mas yodeh Hashem shalom. See what's going on? Because if she's required to work, that is a five slayim requirement. But I would have said, if not for this ra'ah, that she did it five slayim in 2 days, she can do what she wants. So she can't do zima and shimim. She'll do something else. She'll do volunteer work. She'll volunteer in the local hospital, not a paying job. What do you mean, she said? I want you to get make me some money. According to her, she can't do that. Well, again, I don't know exactly in that kind of a case. But she'll do nothing. He says it's not because of Shimon or Zima, but more than that, because she's entitled to the Ma'as Yadayim. Avavadi yecholi lehot zikoy meshvua b'ikra Ma'as Yadayim mitchila. Aval eshlima b'sof ha-shavua. Kol fos al asos. It's amazing. She finishes the quarter early in the week. He can force her to do it. And not, the way I read it properly, not only because of the Shimon and Zima consideration, but also it's included in the original, you know, the original Mishnah of Ma'as Yadayim Lebal. That's quite an amazing chiddush. It's an amazing chiddush. I wouldn't have said it, but that's what he says. The base mayor says they're always wrong. I the Gemara, yes, the Kasha. What do you mean he can force her? How can he force her? So his teretz goes into a complicated part that I don't want to get into right now. It's a whole sugas of Gemara, but the Neder situation. They talk about the most of the Acham. Give the pun. Moser le'achar Mosa, le'achar Misa. After one of the parties dies, that's the question whether the net is going to take effect or not. So the base mayor says, if you look carefully, it's a Shittim Kubetz, it's a Rashi, and Tosis, there's a way how to get out of the Gemara without accepting the premise of the Ra'ah. Not only that, Chazanish and the base Yaakov seem to also argue, based upon Aran. The right answer to see, it's Chaf Hei Amud Beis. Take a look, Rabosa. Chaf Hei Amud Beis, or Ayin Gimel. The Perish, the Rabbi just saw. Eino Chayevus Lassos Elot Teshle Lote Yeshevus Ubetela. Okay. A little bit further, hold on a second.
That language says it all, but he's basically saying there is no quantity. Quantity is just representative. It's to keep her busy. It's not.
I'm not sure that's really so, because the impression is conveyed that there is a certain responsibility to be a partial breadwinner. A partial breadwinner. Okay, so we have. Let me read you something over here. Hold on a second. I'm in the wrong place. The Mishnah says over here on the New Testament base, Arba Yoshevis Bekatadra. Jesus agrees in four shvachos, so he doesn't have to do anything. Hold on a minute, please. The impression which is conveyed over there, that whatever any moser she wants to do, whatever she wants to do, all moser she wants to do, is all only ritzona. That we just saw around. There's never a case which you can force her to do more than the five slur. That's what he said over here. That's you can never force her to do more than the five slur. Was there a disagrees and says that in the case in which she finished a quota earlier in the week, you can compel her to do more than that. Okay? That's what the Achronim said. And that is one more excerpt than there are that I want you to see. Watch this. Where does the M start? Oh, starts over here. So I will ask you to see the following question. Is a machlokas between Rav Huna and Rish Lakish? Can a woman say, Eini Nizonis vi Eini Osa? Rav Huna says yes, and Rish Lakish says no. I'm asking you the following question. What about the other way around? is Rish Lakish say that you, Rabuna, think that she has the upper hand? She can say anything to Tzveniosa, and he can't tell her. See, an Irish Lakish hold, no, male rights. She can't say anything to Tzveniosa, and he can't say T. Is that Rish Lakish the Shita? Or Rish Lakish says no. He's there to protect all interests. Neither has the right to uproot this Takonas Chazal. That's what the Rura talks about. Watch this. Hold on. This is the line, but I'm sure where to start from. Abul Hasha de Kosav Rish Lakish. Shetakona Kavuahi. Ve'ein Echol Mem Yochol Afkia. We shouldn't think of it, our critics are saying that we're not concerned with the interests of women. We can respond. Rav Huna puts the woman's rights ahead of the man's. She can say in his owners, he can't say tzi. And even Rish Lakish, who's a hardliner, says that she cannot say ain't in his owners, but neither can he. Should think that he's an egalitarian. You know, no pedestals here. But no one can say anything. That's Rish Lakish's view. But not the other way around. That's an important line here in the Sheet of the Kabbalah, it's quoted from the Ra'ah. Nimtze Shemas Yadeh Shal Isha Kshe'osa Osam Rishon Zohar Behem Abal Tehem Shal B'chol Bokam Shehen Hu Chayav Gam Kem Mizon Aser. As soon as she does it, it belongs to him, and he's obligated. V'im Eina Nosla Mizonis goes al Osa. He's considered a thief if he doesn't give it. Afal Pikein Hu Zohar B'vali B'mas Yadeh Ela Shehi Yechol Olita Losan Shih Tzrichol Hen Shanich Zeh Abal. Hey, she made money, he didn't give her for food. She'll take the money which she's supposed to give to him and put it in her own pocket to go to the grocery store. She'll chai him his own sack, Moshe Pirashti. She'ain echa min yochol avki asatzel, v'kei min shekein, royu she'il yochol l'chufo b'mas yodeha. Why? She'ay mas yodeha shalohem li'olam. There's no way out. But it goes in both directions. There's also two R's I have to see in this third group of Maramakomas, which we just went through. Fine? Good. Now, Rabosai, there is a Shulchan Aruch in Siman Pei. This now the new Maramakomas. Hope there are more and more Shulchan Aruchs. There's one on my desk someone can take from there with a paperback. I didn't bring it today. If you want, you can go on my desk right next door. I have a paperback Shulchan Aruch, which I bought for somebody yesterday, but I forgot to bring it. Look on your next door neighbor. I'm still resisting putting it on the screen for the moment. Let's say we'll put it on, but for the moment, let's see if we can try a little bit with the Svarm. It's much better that way. If you go to my desk, the paperback is still there for you.
Thank you.
It'll be a share with somebody else. Don't remember to bring it more. Tazit Berhetiv. Sin and pay, Sivkot now. What does it say? Mas Yedela Bala. Says the Berhetiv. The doctor is not also. Avalim Eino's on also. He doesn't see her. Afal pi shalo bo ikum imenu. What does that mean? She won't take it. Afilu shalo amu beferish ein mizon es veniosa. Sounds like it's going to go to her. That's what it sounds like. The Berhetiv here, Sivkotan Aleph, looks to her. What's the raya? What's the raya? How can you make this to say, where do you get it from? This all comes from a Tshuvas Maharit. Tshuvas Maharit. The entire Tshuvas Maharit is not here in front of us, but I'll tell you the proof of the Maharit. I'm going to say, turn to Iran. This Iran is not on the Makoros, because it's a complicated sugya. But just a quick look, if you will, in the Iran. It's page Nun Hei Amid Beis, or page Kuf Samach Vov. In the new print. It's going to be a little excerpt. What's the case over here? It's Dibur Masel Almona in bold print, where he quotes a Ramban. In our print, it's a loose paragraph. Page Kuf Samach Vav, the last paragraph on the page, the quotes of Ramban. For those who have the old Gemara, it's towards the beginning of the Almona on the way to Boy. You see it. Quotes of Rambanza. The Dafka Almona who the buyer Shayim begimul Shonim, behind is a Nokar Almona. Avol Eishes Ish Afilu Shas a Shoa Achas. Below Tova Amazon Oseha. If she doesn't, she lost it. Why? to be almana dafka or mavishim the epshel to mitzvah namidida to go mitziyasa. Maybe she collected mitzias and she has her own support. Avaleish ish to call the chasei alabayla mididei ko mitzvah. What does that mean? It means every married woman, no matter what, is in effect being supported by him. Whether he's in reality he's supporting or not, halachically, she's being supported by him. I feel the machon nixim malum shalav b'tovah sanav b'lo tovah hifsidah. We should darken shal nashim v'galgalim b'alein v'sayim. Here's the punchline, though. There's two sides of the story. U'mihani milah fukim mibah. She gave up that right. Avol im lo nosan lo mezon oseo. V'osista v'ochlo. I feel the hosira. Ein lebal alaklum. The chol hecha the iu lo yov lo mezoni. Hare mashkon biyadahi to mashkinenu. Ve'en a tzrikol ha'asas lo ima bebez nivolom alo in his own attorney also. Ela kol shein ma'al na mezonos. Zog sohi b'mas yadeh afu yadeh shtika. Vudu ish ha'shanin samag dam and beiz. And ein o no sin lo mo kesef esrachea. Mas yadeh shelo. That's a very critical run in the name of the Ramban. That's what we saw in the Berheitev over here. Siv. Kota Aleph. And the Ramah quotes this, Rabbi Osai. This also on the Bekoros. I think this is been on the old Bekoros. And Simon, Simon Pei, Sif Yud Ches. From the old sheet, if I'm not mistaken. What does it say there? Isha Sheshaska, the Ramah. Lotova Mazonos Lomah Hakesef. Minastam, Masi Odeh Mamosa Shalah. Lorminan Shemoch Lemasya Der Haran. Right? Which Ran? He quotes a Ran over here in Afalpi. We're wearing a Ran from much later. This is what it says over here. This is an important halacha in Ramah Sif Yuches. And that the Barhekti is quoting it in Sif Kotn Aleph from the Ran, quoted from the Marit. Marit quotes in the Ran at the end of the Masechta in the name of the Ramban. Oh, it's interesting, Rabbi Osai, this Maharit that everyone talks about, that the remember the Mishnah, let's look at it over here, we'll see it inside the Shulchan Aruch, because you all have in front of the text, and it may go on the screen, just to show you, but for the moment, let's look inside. What should he say? Miu nashim alalu gviros, v'nichnosus v'chatzeros, sorry I'm a lochim, v'him a kaniyo socher, l'hobi teref l'vezim, we saw this yesterday in Mishnah Aruch, u'b'chalt l'em espaleyeh, Masi Yodan, he suggests Lebaalehen. Lebaalehen? Not so clear. So in my edition of Shulchan Aruch, which is called the Rosh Pina, they call it at the bottom with the reason for it. Shom Mavur Hatam. O Bishvil, O Mishum, the Betchilas Yisukam Adayan Habal Toreach Bemezonos, Vochelos Bishal Baalot. Umashem istakeres achakach kama bottle legabe bal. Or she should have spoken up. And according to the first reason, this logic only applies in a situation in which initially, in fact, he did support her. And as a matter of fact, the Maharit, when he says this is so, and he says that, you know, perhaps it should belong to the husband, he quotes a Gemara. Is that Gemara on the Makaros? I think I left it out by mistake. Okay. Possibly. Let's take a look at the Gemara in any event. It's Samach Tes Amud Aleph. I think I left it out. Okay. Not too late. Samach Tesla is one key word we have to see, and the Marit applies it to our situation as well. I've also said there is a. I'll read you the. It's about the two thirds down the narrow lines. The Itma. Toshma the Itma. Misha Meis, Miniach Shtei Bonos. A man died, and he left two children, two daughters. Ube and a son. Kodma Rishona v'not l'isa nechassin. there's a rule that if a woman who's married is entitled to 1/10 of her late father's estate for her wedding expenses. Although a speaker, Shnia Likvel, she didn't get a chance to get married yet. Acha Mace Habein. Oh, says Rashi, Acha Mace Habein. So these two sisters are inheriting their deceased brother. On Rabbi Yochanan, Shnia Vitra. What does Vitra mean? In my daughter-in-law's house, kids typically call the Mevater Award. What's the Mevater Award? No? What do you translate in English? I don't have to Mevater, no? You let it go, right? They quote from Rav Shach Zichron Lebracha. He said, as an older man, he said, Nara Yisi Vigam Zakanti, and I never in my life saw someone who's Mevater who didn't win at the end. Didn't benefit at the end. So, my daughter gives out candies to Mevater awards. Rav Shach is a much bigger bracha than the candy. If you're Mevater, you know, you think something really belongs to you, you give it to another guy, huh? At the end, the Kodesh Baruch will pay it back. So, Shnia Vitra means, Isu nechassin, v'lo amina tito isu nechassin tchila k'moshenot lazu v'chakach yachloku. Lazu shekama v'nisa zachsa. That's all. In other words, so there was $100,000. So one daughter took $10,000 for her wedding expenses, the $90,000 in the pot. Now the son dies, and they inherit the $90,000. So I would have said, let the other daughter get her $10,000 for her wedding, and then split the rest. So each one will get 50. No. She got a 10 clean. That is 90 left. She got 45 apiece. She got 55. Vitra. Okay. So this idea of Vitra is utilized by the Marit in our situation to say, look, she's Mevater to her husband, and therefore the money goes to the husband. Vitra, okay? Vitra. Why? Why Vitra? The Gemara explains why. Why do we say Vitra? Why? Shani Hasa, the last narrow line. Dika Rebach Besa. Rashi. She's getting $45,000. Don't be a nitpicker and ask for another five. Okay, that's what's quoted. Okay, Rebach Besa. So over here in our situation, Rabosai, that's the Gemara. Okay. Here too, the quote on the bottom, my edition, came in the Easter Rebbech based on the Stam of Vitra, the Makped and Sarah Lola Farish. I'm just pointing to you in this Rosh Pina edition, Zagoros Masa Nisman, if you have a Yosha Ben Aruch. They give two reasons. And the second reason is this reason. Now, again, the only thing that we saw is a very brief citation. It says, "Mismas sidan lebalehen, marit chelik beis chashen vishvut simen sam of Zion." Doesn't explain why, but we saw over here on the bottom. Does any of you have this hagah on the side in your shulchanof? Nobody has it. Hagah smais and nissen. So maybe I should share the original. It's only fair, right? I happen to have a fancy shulchanof. Let's see. What? Shoot. Shoot. My rib is probably Achroni. Marit. What do you say? It's Chelik. Again, one more time. Chelik Beis Choshen Mishpat Sam of Zayin. Chelik Beis Choshen Mishpat Sam of Zayin. Only fair. You give access to everybody. Two buttons to get it. Question how long it's going to be. I didn't look at the original. Okay. It's not. Okay, so here we go. Oh, Minala, Hadiran, no. The Marit, no, what he's saying. Quotes the Rana I just told you. Shem Ramban, Amara Sheshah Se Eser Shanim Lo Nasa Nishto Mezonos Asa Yochla Afil Hosir En Abala La Klum Kolecha Di Yil Lo Yor Lo Mezonos En Esvich Lassas Prefer Shlom En Zonos Zoch Se Vemas Yodeh Afil Derech Shtika Right? Em Eina Nos Lo Mol Ketzit Sochea Mas Yodeh Shalom. Okay? So, no, so it should be Oh, here we go. That's how he starts off saying. Really belong to her. But then he does he says, not so sure it's true. Watch this. Look inside. Ella she'efsha. Ella she'efsha loma. It's only an efsha. They have tithes against the bear hated. You're according to the Beit, it says Master and the Balein. It's only there. He's only saying it's an Efshar. Look. Efshar, Shalom and Nashim, Elashi, Tchilas, Ashimushin, Bimalacha, Zu, Adayan, Habal, Torech, Bimizonos, Shimer, Ravachas, Venos, Nobayan, Yofa, Venos, Senes, Vitsios, Abayas, Koshlo, Omein, Zonos, Vechule, Harayesh, Lomimach, Shim, Sparne, Tibanis, Abayas, Yimash, Revich, of Kvar, Umididei, Kochlo, Umididei, Shasya, she's officially from him. We call Masha Hesa Olechas to Mistakeres, Kama Bottle the Gabe Bal. That's the first story I read you in footnote 5. Now the second story, Hinami, Evshalom, I didn't say for sure, the Cave and Dika Rebbe Besa, there's a lot of money rolling around. Mistama Vitra, Timim and Perek Matthias Isha, Misha Mason near Base Bonus, the Kama Rishon, and Upla Isa Nachosin, Los Speak of Shneer the Gross, and Shemesa Ben Shneer Vitra, right? Rebbe Besa. Okay? Fine. And even those who hold differently, Hochadifa, Dalastama is also Gedersha is also Betchila for the first svara. The meets of the cup, the high little farish. Who signs Yosef Rav Moshe Mitrani? That's the merit. His father was a Mabit. It's Yosef's opponent in Shemitah and any other issues in Svat. Okay, this is the Shiva's merit. So footnote 5 did a pretty good job in summarizing what he said. So you see clearly that what the Mabrit said. The Balayan and it's quoted in Shuva in Barhete is a very incomplete citation. He only said it's an Efshar. To the contrary, he started off by quoting the Ram in the opposite direction. Just letting you know. He has two Svaras, which are the Efshars over here in the Barhete. Fine?
I don't exactly get how this comes out of this Gemara that it's connected. What is the ability to
He's assuming that we call a language known as Vitur.
Right.
Now, does everyone agree to the Vitur? No. Not everyone agrees to the Vitur. No? No? Okay. Well, now let's go a little bit further in this discussion. Rabosai, Moser is Tachas Mor Kesef, correct? So wait a minute. If he didn't give her the Mor Kesef, the extra allowance, so maybe it's not entitled to what we call the Moser Hadafa. So the Chazish is an interesting idea. He says, since she gets everything from him, at least officially, it's treated as if he gave her more kesef. And even if she borrowed money to support herself, she didn't say explicitly, any zonas v'eni osa, or any no senes more kesef v'eni no telus Moser. It's as if lofsa, and she's considered as if she got the money from him, even though he didn't pay her a penny. That's what he wants to suggest. Achidish Nifla. Achidish Nifla. Once again, Rabosai, the Marit's first svara, the Achronim is a big Chidish, kama bottle. And in many cases, it's not even true. It's only true in the cases in which initially the husband did work. The second, they quibble with, it's not the same, Rabosai. As some of Testament Aleph. There, you know, Rabosai, there are people in this world who are wealthy through no effort of their own. They were blessed with a rich father. All right, you didn't earn it, you didn't deserve it, you didn't move out there on some of it. Here, she ripped the head off. Why should you move out there? She doesn't like either of the svaras of the Marit. Some of the Achronim say that. They don't like either of the svaras. Not just that. Look in the Ramah. In the Ramah. See the Lashon of the Ramah. The Lashon of the Ramah. Take a look over here. Rabosai. The Ramah is found at the end of Sif Aleph. Sif Pei. End of Sif Aleph. What does it say? Doch kad machaber says, doch kad of yosa yosa meroyla hamosa lebal. Says the Heliger Rama, v'dafka sheno sein lo mo kesef kol shavua. He actually has to give it to her. If he didn't actually give it to her, then not. She's not mevater on anything. And she keeps the mosa for herself. We saw yesterday that the Mishnah Lamelech has its following remarkable idea. And since the mitziah belongs to the husband, let every hadafa, aydei hadchak, belong to the husband for Torah's mitziah. So therefore all those discussions in the Raivid and the Rajba, and we saw it yesterday, the Tur, that's only about Almana, because Almana mitziah belongs to her. But for an Eishes Ish, then I have to go to him, because it's no less than a mitziah. After all, the Gemara in Samach Vav, just repeat, see the Gemara one more time, just turn back three pages, Samach Vav and out, where the Gemara does compare mitziyos gadavar etchak dami. There's a whole place about it. Dibamasa mitziyos, which I asked you to see, which we spoke about a little bit. So the Mishnah Melech turns it around and says, ha'adavar etchak kimitziyos dami. Is that necessarily the case? Are these things flippable? Is every raincoat reversible? The Gemara says mitziyos like adavar etchak. The other way around also true. So there are poskim who say that the Mishnah Melech said yes, but there are poskim who disagree, and they have the following lashon. I'm going to quote to you from the poskim, it's an ultra poskim. Quote: the im came, if the Mishnah Melech is correct, lo timsa ba'olam isha shetucha lomar eini mizon is meinei osa. The Gemara says clearly a woman can't say that. No, it never happened. Why? Shere tamid hamosar yaras aliyas lo din mitziya v'hila balam. So it's all, you can never say it. It's always going to be a mitziya, and the mitziya is also to a husband. Fascinating. Now a couple of additional comments on this, which are all taken from the Ultra Poskim. One is a Rashi on Samach Vav Amud Aleph. Right? Look at the Rashi. The Gemara has the Shmar to Shaila. It is a multitasker. Shtayim v'sholosh v'arba v'vasachas. Sub Rashi. Shomeresh kisuin v'tova pishton u'lamedes shir l'noshim v'schai. A multitasker. What is she? She watches cucumbers and she spins linen and she's a music teacher. You're also going to warm up eggs in her lap. She's a real multitasking woman. Right? So one of the poskim say, the Mishnah Yaakov, Rav Rosenthal mentioned yesterday, says, wait a minute. You see from this Rashi, this is very carefully, that these Mas Yadayim belong to the husband. Why? Because the whole Gemara Shaila is, you're doing four things at once. There's nothing at all four. Implying, if you did only one of these things, it would certainly go to the husband. Can he force her to do it? Maybe not. Maybe yes. But that's a very momentous Rashi, according to the Mishnah Yaakov. We'll see later, not everyone agrees. But here's the Kollel question. They have modern questions. The man is learning in the Kollel, making a pittance. Kollels don't pay too much money, Rav Osei. They're notorious for paying very low amounts of money. Not enough to support the family. And she goes to work, who do her earnings belong to? He'll say, I support you, I go to the Kollel. Get a check every month when they're not late. Don't know Kollel are late, yeah?
What about she shouldn't have to give him his Masi Dei because he's not supporting her.
Exactly, but he is. He's going to make the check every month.
He makes the check every month?
Then yeah, Kollel.
Then she should have to give
him. Yeah, but the pittance. What does Lakewood pay?
What
does the Miri Yeshiva pay in the Kollel? These are the two biggest Kollels in the world. You don't know what they pay? Find out for Sunday. I want to know if you can find it. Ask a friend. What does Lakewood pay a married couple? What does Miri pay a married couple?
Medium wage census data in Lakewood is it's $25,000 a year.
Lakewood Kollel does not pay that much.
No. the best of my knowledge. That means including white Germans.
Okay, whatever. that's a question. That's a poverty level. But the question becomes, I'd like you to find out from somebody how much these kolos pay. Everyone knows somebody in these yeshivas. Not enough to support
it's
them.
Like it's $80 a week.
What does it say?
It's $80 a week, or $165 a week.
This is in Lakewood? Okay. Okay. Let's do that. What does that cost? $80 a week. That's what? That's $320 a month.
Can that even be one person?
It's $4,000 a year.
$4,000 a year.
My food bill and wages is $12 a day.
But they're on relief.
Their relief is a different story. We'll discuss relief. We already pointed out that relief is relevant in the question of whether you can force a man to divorce his wife for lack of support. And in point of fact, in my opinion, you cannot, since relief is available. We saw the machlekes between the Sivus Mishpat, who thinks that the Rambam and the Rabbeinu Yerucham are fighting in a case where she can sustain herself, but most posts of the Ma'arit included say no, that's whether she cannot support herself. And therefore, if she can't support herself with welfare, you can't make him divorce her, force him, you know, using the coercion, whatever they are these days, not going into that right now, it wouldn't work on his side. Let's go back over here. So they're getting paid almost nothing. So there's a sefer called the Bikurei Goshen, quote unquote, post, which says he's making $80 or $4,000 a year, and she can keep her own earnings. Wait, stop! He says, she is working her head off. She wants a chelik in the schar of Talmud Torah. She's what we call an enabler today.
She can still get that, but that's just not part of the deal.
Oh, he writes back. Even if the money is hers and she lets him eat from her money, she still gets his schar. In other words, the question was, in order to get his schar, she has to make the money to go straight to his account. No. She can keep it in her account and give it to him for his expenses, to put money on bread on his table, and she still gets the reward for his Talmud Torah. Might not come in all this. Unfortunately, there are cases in which a kolel couple separates. And the question becomes, they have some money in the bank. Who gets it? He says, Masha Kronti Shekona Baila. It's all mine. Kula Shali. Masya Delaba. The big Talmud Chochon. Baila Ksubis. Spend more time improving his marriage. She says, what are you kidding? He made $4,000 a year. I made 40. He's not a millionaire either. I made 40. He made 4. We survived in the whole $44,000. 90% plus came from me. What do you mean he's keeping all the money? Says it's safer because of these competing considerations. It should make a pshara as far as how the money should be divided. He can't say it's all mine. I'm kind of reading from Ultra Apostle. Fascinating. Oh, so far so good. I want to say, it was a talk of someone that it was our best and forced someone to give a get. I just heard a report about this from someone here in the room. It's not quite the case. Our best never forced someone to give a get. I mean, never in an illegal fashion, for sure not. But even in applying that kind of pressure on a fellow who could not support his wife, it never happened. Lo hayu devara me'olam. The particular case was a particularly difficult case where the individual was not only unable to support his wife, but he was unable to live with his wife normally. He was unfortunately was very ill. I'm not going into the details of it. That's a complicated story where someone's not only unable to support his wife, also unable to live with his wife. That's a unique case. And it never came to anything. I was very surprised when I heard the case. It was more than what you had reported. Yes, sir.
Going back to what we were talking about before, like in the case where like the husband's like in Kolel and like he's giving off like the bare minimum, he's it never really specifies that, like he has to feed her up to a certain standard. Just
sure
it
does.
It does.
That's what we spoke about. The Mishnah has a certain standard. Is it bread and peanut butter? We could say the whole kind of Mishnah is about this, and he has to presumably to give her a place to live. And very often, the rent is being paid by her. He can't tell me in Lakewood you could rent a dira for $300 a month?
What?
Huh? That's all the kolos pay?
Basements go for $1,000.
Even the basement costs $1,000. So it's not shayach here. What do you mean supporting it? Okay. Rabosai. Let's discuss the following, the Pisrei Tshuva, also in the Ma'amah Kamas. Right over here. Simen Pei, Sivkot Na. Fascinating. These are fascinating questions, Rabosai. Pisrei Tshuva, Sivkot on Aleph. Simon Pei, Pesach Shuvah, Sivkot Nal. Look what it says. It's a very strange, the two Alephs? I mean the first Aleph. Okay. We're going to see towards the very end of Aleph. Some funny reason my picture has an extra Aleph in it, I don't know what it's all about. But the initial Aleph. Oh. An interesting challenge. What happens? Let's read together, okay? Shuvas give us show. Reuven Hasi the no as Bas Shimon. So Reuven's son married Shimon's daughter. Mazel Tov. His chayv atzam the kinyan suited the mezonos azur kamashonim kedagum dino seinum. They agreed to pay, you know, each pay money so the couple could live for a few years. That was the minig in his medina. Can I tell you something? In some places the medina in our medina do. Boys gonna sit in Kerelu. And for the first number of years, the Mechutanim agree they're going to support the children. I thank God my children are all married. In nearly all the situations, this didn't happen. But in one situation, there was the Mechutanim said, how are they going to live? So we should agree to give him X dollars for the next X years. Why is it in the cola? Then we agree. Of course, I agree. Whatever they said, I agree. Okay, fine. It's talking about such a case. Reuven and Shimon exist in America today too. We saw Meshem Zman and Mezonos, Shizanos and Aviyan. Oscar, Eishes, Ben Reuven. The Bloch of Irvicha. She decided, I was relying on the Shver, the father. I'm going to go into business. She made a lot of money. Mas Yadel to me. She wants to know, there's a Baal Zalchan Atma. God, Mas Yadel, Tikkun Tavos Mezonos. For Eilin Mezonos, Mishal Baal. Ooh. Husband's not giving a penny. The money comes from the parents. They brought a rabbi from Yechus Avodim, and he rejects the rabbi from Yechus Avodim. Not going to that rabbi from Yechus Avodim. Omnam lahalocha, the last few lines, hadinimo, the borahu, kol hecha demas yodeo shelah, zocha bohen abal, mitznai ksubo. Vechein lebhedeh barosh, resh perk anosu, perk in beis, simen aleph, shem yerushalmi. What is the Beis Yosef? What is the Magen Mishnah? What does it say there? Mi sheposek losmes kaloso zona. He agreed to support his daughter-in-law, so he does so. Umase yodeho shel bino, and the mas yodayim go to his son. Can we put names over here? Okay. Let's say it's Reuven who was going to agree to support his daughter-in-law. What name should we give her? Rachel. Okay. Meanwhile, Shimon, the son of Reuven, is married to Rachel, will get the Masi Adayim. Even though the money's not coming from the husband, it's coming from her Shver. But then, wait a minute. Ve'ein lechalek ben posek lekaloso. Oh, Levito, the Mishnah. What's the difference if you're giving the money to your daughter or your daughter-in-law? It's all the same thing. Excuse me? It's all the same thing? I both say, who knows about family dynamics? It's all the same thing? It's all the same thing? What? If his father is paying the money, if he's making the money from his father, but if her father's paying, and the money should go to that son-in-law, that shouldn't put another word to describe the son-in-law, who's not making any money, and I'm the shver, you know, who's just paying all the bills. Not the same.
Why isn't it Nipsen Malut at the very least?
Different story. But let's discuss this equation. Idea. You know what makes this distinction? The Maharsham, among others. Because if the father of the man gives the money, it's coming from the man. So of course, her earnings go to her husband, as if the husband had given the money, because his father gave it bim komo. But if her father gave the money, it's coming from her side. She keeps the earnings. So writes the Maharsham against this idea. And they quote it somewhat of a precedent for it. It was a bit of a precedent for it. You see, we quote it over here, Beis Yosef Siman Kuf Yudal Bekitzer. Let's look at Kuf Yudal Bekitzer ourselves. Look at Pesachet Shuvah. Kuf Yudal Zivkot and Beis. Again, Bekitzer. We don't spend too much time. Bekitzer. Bekitzer. Okay? Not going to be the entire thing. Kuf Yudal Zivkot and Beis and Pesachet Shuvah discusses these kinds of questions. You give your daughter the money even if your son died. That's ridiculous! You agreed to give the money to your daughter because she's married to your son! The son died, forget it! Back and forth, make up sure, he says. Okay? So this kind of distinction, to make sure in these kinds of cases, at the very end of Beis, even the Taz, Dr. Ben Mischayev Lubino, Lizuno and Kalosa, Umeisa Ben, Abel Ipcha, Echa Shaab Mischayev Lita Mizonas Lubito, Ulachasano, Umeisa Habas, the Vagaba Taz Moda Shapot, the Lita Mizonas Lachasano, Hey! That I'm not Chayev to do. The kids are, you can't make comparisons when it comes to family dynamics. Ad Kan Lepis Chetchu. Fine. Rabosai, we spoke before about a raya that even if the woman is engaged in professions which she's not required to do, the money goes to the husband. From this Rashi, look what she's doing over here, this awesome lady. What's she doing? She's watching cucumbers and spinning linen and teaching music classes and then warming up eggs. So the only shah of the Gemara is she's doing four things at once. So the question is, do you get all four of them? But if you get any one of those four, it certainly belongs to him, even though it's not required to do these things. But the Mishnah is Yaakov's Raya. And the Ultra Post, he says, no, not true. The Raya they brought is perhaps in this Rashi. We can say no. They're fascinating. Why did Rashi throw in Tova Pishta? Why? Rashi's so creative, all kinds of jobs that women do in those days. Watching cucumbers, teaching music classes, warming up eggs. Why don't you throw in the run-of-the-mill Tova Pishta? The suggestion is made, Tova Pishta, she's required to do. So whatever else she does while she's required to do that, goes to him, akin to the Ritva that we started with today. But if she's doing something else she's not required to do, and not simultaneously what she's required to do, then it should stay with her. We refute the riot from this Rashi. The Mishnah Tzniachon's riot is refuted by some of the poskim here that are quoted. Fascinating. That's why Rashi threw in Tava Pishta. So should it all belong to her? Who poskins this way? Quotes Gedolei Olam. The Dayana, the chief Dayana from Eretz Yisrael in the early time of the state. The Rabbi Uziel, the chief rabbi. Rabbi Goldschmidt, who was the closest colleague of Rabbi Yashiv. Rabbi Yashiv himself passed this way, quoted in his tshuva, at least me, Suffolk, and because it's a Suffolk, there's a whole discussion there, what'll happen, so she doesn't have to give it to him. What about if she's demanding other things from him? We discussed this before already. Can we say that they're two separate Torahs, and therefore she can keep what's hers, be Suffolk, and he has to pay her what he owes her, Bavada? Or do we say, no, put it all in one big pot, and now he's a Muslim. That's also discussed in the Otsar Poskim and the Mishnah Saksuma. They all discuss this question, which is a very, very critical question. And the question then becomes, assuming that it belongs to her, must she at least take off the amount that she's not working in the house? They have to hire someone to do the chores of the household. Some say yes, some say no. We saw that in yesterday's tour, right? The tour, Yesh Mechayim, Yesh Potrim, the Beis Yosef, Chuvas Erajma. So that's also a question which is not fully resolved. Oh. What happens, Rabbi Osai? Halacha l'maaseh, all these practical questions. The Pisrei Choshen, Rabbi Bloy. You have to think of me yet? See, after she. Rabbi Bloy had the following question. In Eretz Yisrael, as in America, when a person gets older, there are payments that the government makes. they make a payment to the woman. Does the husband get the payment? He said, listen, lady, you turn 65 or 70, whatever age you turn, the government gives you 100 shkolim, whatever, bituach lumi, whatever you want to call it, please give it to me. We're married. Case number one. Case number two. She has a pension. She works for 40 years. There's mandatory retirement. There's much more than in America. She works for 45 years. And now she's 70. She's mandatory retirement. She has a pension. He says, honey, hand it over. So the Pesach is like this. In economy, a pension which is only earned through her hard work, that goes to him. That's part of Masiyah Dayan. But what belongs to every single citizen, whether they work the day of their life or not, by virtue of them being 70 years old, that's not Masiyah Dayan. It doesn't come to him at all. So says Rav Blood.
Don't you only get Social Security if you pay into it?
I'm talking about an Eretz Yisrael. It's a different system than we have a little bit now. And therefore it belongs to her. And one of the Gedolim says, that's what the government intends, to give it to her, not to him. You have to follow the government's intention. You can't, if they gave it, like, I'm not sharing the ballot or shitspa, something along those lines. That's what he's driving at.
Then the bonus is you have kids. Does that go to her?
That should go. It's to her, not to him. It's not Masiya Dayan. It's Masiya Dayan. She bore children. It's like Masiya Dayan. She did will and bears children. I don't know. That's a good question. I didn't see it written explicitly.
Doesn't it have to go to the children? Would that be the government's intent?
No. Its intent is to go for the children. But it's one of the parents. What I have left out completely in these Mar Makoma sheets are obligations to children. That's the next topic. That's a whole different kettle of fish. We're discussing now only him to her and her to him. We haven't gotten... You know, I sat in the Torah yesterday where there was a request for a get and for back pay of deadbeat dad that didn't support his children, which is a very, very complicated story. What does halacha say about all these things? Many of my cases I deal with are involved in these things. So I want to talk about with you at great length, but not that. Now we're trying to stick to it. But your question, good question. If there has to be two of them per child, it's given to the mother. Who's it given to? It's given to the mother, it's given to the father. I don't know who the checks went out to. I have to find out some of the technicalities in Eretz Yisrael and in America, all quite certain some things. We'll discuss this in Mitzvah, the Siyata Nishmai. Of course, it comes up also, if a couple divorces, how much child support is the father required to accord to the halach? Think about the government. The halach, the certain CSSA, if I have the right Rosh Tavis, Child Support Something Act. But if you give less than that in bed, they'll throw it out in a second. Our prenup gives an opportunity for the people to check off a box, and the bed is authorized to discuss, to decide support, visitation, custody, etc. We are fully aware of the fact that any secular court on whim can overturn it. Other matters, between husband and wife, it's very difficult to overturn a psak of an arbitrator. Almost impossible, as a matter of fact, to overturn a psak of an arbitrator. You only have two grounds for it. One is corruption, fraud, to bribe. And one is, it's an irrational decision. Now, of course, that's a very subjective term. I'll tell you two stories. We'll digress a little bit. Thursday, we have to go a little. Stories. Two stories. First story number one, nothing to do with matters of divorce, but just the idea of what's called irrational. There was a particular case in which I sat in a Torah with two other rabbis who both had law degrees. Both residents of a town a few miles to our west, with a large Jewish Orthodox Jewish population. Right. Even have some people in this room that come from that town. Right. A town that we used to call in the old days Tina Chenishma, yeah. Now it's become an era Torah. But I didn't say what the town is, Eric. Okay, anyway. So there was a case of a school that terminated a teacher. Who was tenured. He had tenure. And they terminated him. So he came to our bezin. Not to terminate a tenured teacher. And that was in Tumut, California. They're making, there was a whole Supreme Court. You know what's going on in California? They're trying to fire tenured teachers now because they're no good. They have to have cause. The cause they brought was, to our minds, so frivolous. The real reason that they wanted him out, because he was, I'll use it just to save time, a more Haredi individual, and they wanted to replace him with someone who was more modern, who was more with it, who may have been more with, and maybe they were right, that the kids in today's world need someone like that. They weren't wrong on the merits of their claim, but he's tenured. So they brought in a labor lawyer who was active in the school board, and he says, tenure, that's only for last year, not for now. I look at him like he's from outer space, and what's he trying to sell people the goods? Tenure's for life. You know, tenure, that's the whole point of tenure. This guy's trying to sell us a bill of goods. We weren't born yesterday. I mean, this doesn't, the lawyers weren't born yesterday. Maybe I was.
The law's evolving. Tenure doesn't mean what it used to.
Maybe they're right, but then maybe this guy was right. But the way we read tenure, the way the handbook said tenure, it's for life. But they were so angry, we would never have given him tenure. That principal gave him tenure. And he's out. Yeah, but that principal was a sitting principal at the time. You are stuck with his decisions, man. You can't help it. Okay, fine. So he passed and he has to be reinstated. And the salary, you know, high salary, that's what he was making. So they told him, this rabbi, that if you don't go to the secular court within 12 months, have this decision confirmed, it'll be unenforceable going forward. So he didn't ask any questions. He took a lawyer and went to a secular court. This gave the school a second bite of the apple. The school had a fancy lawyer. This guy had an incompetent lawyer. He managed to lose the case. Because the judge said that the three rabbis were irrational. Let me tell you, the entire business system in America shook. Because if a judge, they told me it was a, I don't want to say anything about it, whatever, he was not, it was Michelonu, but not quite Michelonu. Some of the most complicated people, you know what I'm saying? It's just so close to us, but not close enough. The whole system shook. So we said, this has to be, we cannot understand. Aside from the injustice to the teacher, the whole business system is. So, Baruch Hashem, pro bono, we got a Talmud of mine to take the case, who works for a fancy firm in Lexington Avenue and 45th Street, fancy firm. I'm going to look at my sheer. When we learn Ksubas, we probably learn Ksubas back in Tufshin Mem Zion. Was that 27 years ago? That's when he was in my sheer. Now he's an Oleg Dula, be a part of a very nice firm. And he had an assistant help him, who's now a law professor. Fancy, also learned me a little bit, I really lose your guys. They did a job, they presented their cases. They went to the Court of Appeals, and there was a resounding 5-0 upholding of our decision with a patch to the judge. And Baruch Hashem, may Azat Samusim, now the business system is even stronger than before. Because now they say that's case number one, nothing to do with marriage. Case number two, that was a New York case.
How's the decision cited?
You want the name of the decision? I'll tell you privately the name. I can give you the name of the rabbi. It's a public record, the name of the rabbi. Okay.
Okay.
I don't want to say anything I shouldn't be saying, but it's very easy to find. So the second case involved a prenuptial agreement. Mordechai, come here. The second case involved a prenuptial agreement, which was signed in Maryland. It was signed in Maryland, and it was a long time ago. It was $100 a day, and they went to the Beis Din, and it took them a few months. They actually got the bezin. They got the bezin. The husband said, "I'll give it again today. I'm having a get. I'm not holding up the get." Okay. So I'll give it again today. Took 3 years till they patched it around in court. 3 years. Okay, gave the get after the 3 years are up. She now sends him a bill for $100,000. You agree $100,000 a day? Are you crazy? I was willing to give the get right away. Case came to Abez. It has to go Abez. Abez is the best in the record, the prenup. So there was a bit of a, again, I don't want to say too much, I'm not supposed to say, but there was somewhat of a question among the Bezdin, I didn't sit in the case. The question was, is she entitled to the money preceding the initial appearance in Bezdin? One view was that perhaps that she's entitled to it because until that point they hadn't come to Bezdin yet. So she wants $100,000, she's only entitled to $10,000. The other view was she's not entitled to anything. This guy's not, he's never recalcitrant for one split second. The kids are, apparently the decision was taken, 10. She's entitled to 10,000. Both parties appealed. We have an appeal system to appeal to the Abez. It's written in our rules and procedures to get this online. Or his designee. The designee was me. I'm the associate. So I wrote a decision, and the decision stated, I worked hard on this decision, that she's, and this actually isn't even printed, I'm telling you now. This is printed, I get this online, the Journal of the Bezdin of America. We've got two journals so far. This is in volume one. And I make reference to the case in the bottom. If I'm not mistaken, if you can get it online, you can tell the Chevra right now to look up that case. So, okay, so the appeal came down, 0. So this lady was infuriated, and she went to the secular court in Maryland. This crazy arbitrator, crazy guy, what's he doing? It's irrational. I wish got 100, but at least a 10. What a crazy guy. The decision was handed down. Quite the contrary. This arbitrator is very reasonable and very good. I mean, I got a nice compliment from the in his honor down in Maryland. So, I'm saying that our cases are reviewed by secular courts. At the end of the day, in almost all cases, we prevail. We've never been cited for corruption or bribery. Never. Never. There can be cases where there are certain other technicalities that someone's trying to invoke. But I don't go into that right now. We'll get to the preamble. We'll come to it as we go. Yes, sir?
Right.
I don't understand that. It's against the...
No, but how does that go with the other discussion in regards to the pension?
No, the pension... No, she worked as whatever she did. She was a teacher or whatever she was. So he said that the earnings go to him. That's what the pension should have. I don't understand that. That's what he said yesterday. Now, does the earnings go to him? The pension also goes to him because the pension is a labor-related benefit as opposed to some old age. That, he said a chiddush nifla, which I don't understand. A, he says, you can't force your wife to work out of the home. It's against the laws of tznius, and it holds a whole tirade. You should discourage it no matter what. If you want, I'll bring it to you on Sunday. I'll read it to you. We have it downstairs, Mr. Koshin. He's dyed in the wool. You know, Mayor Shoram, you know, that. Women should stay home. Okay, fine. I have to tell you, to be quite honest, I'm not afraid to quote him by name because I think he'd be proud if I quoted it. The very distinguished Rabbi Danziger, Shalita. He lived in Riverdale for many years, and he was a rabbi really before me for many years, and he went on Aliyah to Lakewood back in 1986. He's a man over 90, thank God. His wife, unfortunately, passed away a couple of years ago, and but when his wife, he had very little parnasa. A little shul, he had taught in Breuers. So she had a job in City College. She was worked for many years as a secretary there, and she bought him, and they had a large family. He told me once, you know, by right, my wife should stay home with the children. But what can I do? We just can't afford to live. And I'm certainly very sympathetic for that. But he added that by right. Today's world, that by right, they'll kill you for it. They'll hang you up and have to dry. They'll live by right. We'll discuss, I want to talk about this a little bit. As the year goes on, we'll discuss this more and more. I'm a big believer that women should have the opportunity to raise their own children. And that's because Baruch created the world that way. I read Rav Moshe Shuva once about that. But that's why she's part of this Magrama and Talmud Torah, because her most important thing in life is to raise a family. Very not modern idea. Very not modern idea. So much so, just to give out how far things have come, I mentioned in Shul, over we talk about Puruhu over Parshas Bereishis in the previous few days, about egg freezing. You know what that means? Never heard of it, Baruch Hashem. A woman gets older, and she's afraid that if she waits longer, she won't have good eggs. So she freezes her eggs, and then when she'll decide to get married, so she'll have eggs available to be able to have children of her own. What a lie. We have good sense of humor here. Wow. Wow, we. A real multitasker. She'll warm eggs and freeze eggs at the same time. Okay, very good. Very sharp. Anyway, so a doctor in the audience raises his hand and he reported, and I saw it in a news magazine, I think it was Time, that the biggest companies in the country now, the cutting edge companies, have announced that any woman who's in a fast track career working for them, if I'm not mistaken, it's Facebook and Apple and Google, and these are the biggest companies in America, as far as I know, will pay for any career woman to freeze her eggs so she can maintain her career for longer. She doesn't have to worry about the biological clock ticking away. Now, I have to tell you that I'm sympathetic to a woman who simply is unable to find a husband. She's not getting older and older, and she wants to freeze her eggs. I'm sympathetic to it. I even spoke about it in a Central Park West apartment a few months back, and then it was in June. Huh?
Is it mother? Are you allowed to freeze your eggs?
I'm saying I was sympathetic. There was a meeting of a fertility specialist, Mr. Talman Mark, and I, a whole group, many, many women were there. I'm sympathetic. Because I'll give you an example, and right now we're dealing with a situation. A woman, fine, wonderful woman, took until she was 40 or so, even a little more, until she found a husband. And now she can't have kids, with her eggs are no good. She still has eggs, she still has periods, eggs, they're no good. Often eggs, not always, you know, people have children at age 45, but when you hit 40 or even a little before, sometimes the eggs go sour. So many couples, you know, Hasidic couples, they keep trying to have kids. But when the woman turn up at 30, somebody just stopped, because it just stops there. It stops. Somebody goes to late 40s. But it depends on the woman, right? Okay. Why am I so much, I'm sympathetic? Because of number one, my personal empathy. But there's another thing. Unfortunately, the women who, instead of deciding to freeze their eggs, decide, sounds unspeakable, but it exists in today's world, to have children. They have no husband. No problem. Today's world, no problem. And if you want to do an Aveira, it's not no problem. But if you don't want to do an Aveira, donor sperm. Available, no problem. It doesn't cost so much. Go to a bank, you find someone, you know, tall, dark, and handsome, whether you want blonde, whether you want blue eye, whatever you want. They give you, you know, they don't tell you what it is, but they give you a whole profile. And there are such cases. I am so much opposed to that idea that, to my mind, and I hear I'm following along with Rabbi Grushkin from Machon Pua, who pushed me along these lines, it's certainly infinitely better, now that we have the technology, for a woman, there was only recent technology, by the way, it didn't happen before, for the, should be a freezing of the eggs, so that if she finds a husband, she'll be able to have children with her good eggs. Hopefully they'll have children naturally. We'll try that first, obviously. But there's always this backup, as opposed to this other thing, which I consider to be a disaster. Now, I just want to, before I get back to that disaster, there could be cases where now people freeze embryos. That was an earlier technology. Now, why should anyone want to freeze an embryo? Here's the answer. I'm dealing with a case right now. A woman, unfortunately, has to undergo chemotherapy, radiation, because of an illness in a young age. They want to have more children. So instead of freezing eggs, which is so complex, they're healthy. They had a couple of kids already. They can freeze embryos, and if she should be healthy, they'll be able to have as many children as they want. But let's go back to this case. So there was a case in the community which, okay, which I reside, okay, I identify that anyway, where there was such exactly such a case. I know the grandfather, a friend of mine. His daughter had a very sad life. She was engaged and broke up, the whole story. And then when she's getting older and older and older, she decided to opt to have her own child. I assume she did it the more kosher way, without it doing an aveira. And she had a boy. And then one of the shuls, they made a whole big bris like anything else. You know, the single mother by choice. And Frank, and one of my friends was invited to that bris. I was fortunately not. I would certainly not have gone. Although the child had a bris, Jewish child, 100% Jewish child, no matter who the father is, even if it's a goy, the child follows the mother. But as I phrased it, you don't have to have it with stuffed bears and choo-choo trains. You know what that means?
I understand what it means.
In other words, you have to a bris, but it's not a party. It's a disaster. I once spoke in Stern about this, and they thought it'd give me a hard time. Rabbi, what's wrong? And you know, and at a technical level, they may even be right. We are often in difficult situations where there's a man who's unable to produce children. Let's say he went through chemo, and they're unable to bank the sperm. It's very important to bank sperm for anyone who goes through chemo. I had a case way, way back. He wasn't even married yet. I was mounted to bank the sperm, and I said, if he doesn't survive, it has to be disposed. Never, he didn't survive. So it was disposed. But if he's married for sure, almost everybody's going to bank the sperm. What happens, Nebuch? He didn't have time. He was diagnosed so quickly, didn't have time to bank anything. He can't have kids. But his wife wants kids. So the Moshe is mad there, artificial insemination. The Satmar Rebbe went crazy on it. Look at Vumbus, we spent a lot of time on this discussion. I'm not going to go into the whole sugya right now again, but it's very fascinating. So I don't understand, they say. If the rabbis didn't go out on a limb in opposition to the Satmar Rebbe and many other gedolim, and be matter based on Moshe, artificial insemination, even if she's a married woman with there from a strange man, kavachomer, from a technical level, should be mutter to allow a single woman who has no attachments to have this opportunity. They look at me with that kind of question, you know, with daggers in their eyes. I said, I have a Rashi in Chumash. Rashi in Chumash, Pashas Bereishis says, Al ken yazav ish, as oveh ves imo, v'dovak v'ishto, v'hoyu l'bosarech. The Rashi v'abesarech, a child who comes from both of them. I said it's a prerequisite in the Torah for having children. That's the dovah fish, that it should be a husband and a wife. So one of these young ladies, you really mean that? Like I said, I'm a Tana of Darshan and Psukim. Do you really mean that, Rabbi? I looked and I said, yes, I really mean it. I really do mean it. It's literal, not literal, but at the bottom line, I certainly mean. That's a tragedy. And I have to say that, unfortunately, aside from single women who are having children this way, also, I don't want to say the word even, but I have to say the word, you know what I'm talking about, quote, lesbian couples, Rahman al-Islam, we're doing the same thing. And after the rabbi should make a bris with choo-choo trains and then stuffed bears. And
Rabbi, I don't really understand it. If it's mutter and...
It's not mutter.
Not mutter.
No. Because we have halacha which goes beyond mere technicalities. The halachic system, as we've learned a whole year, goes beyond technicalities. It extends way beyond technicalities.
So a single woman who's in her 40s is basically being nisyayish on getting...
No! Freeze her eggs! That's why I'm allowing that. She can freeze her eggs. She can have a kid now. She can have kids. Past 50 can have kids. They do it all the time. They give your daughter eggs. You want to have her own child. She wants an egg for herself. She wants her own genetic makeup. That's why I'm sympathetic.
We live in times though it's mathematically impossible at a certain age for every woman to be married. Unless there was...
What does that mean?
Because
there's more women than men, that's what you're saying. I understand.
Well, I honestly don't want to raise a... You know, I mean, don't get me wrong when I raise it sometimes. I'm being slightly rhetorical, but honestly, we came from a... Luckily, we came from a place of multiple... You know, of...
multiple marriages, and I just don't understand, you know, like that's part of the problem, honestly.
I'm not here to solve the shidduch crisis. I'm not here to solve the shidduch crisis. It's a serious crisis. It is. It's a problem. My heart cries for every person who's unattached, male and female. I don't limit my tears to females. Males or single, it's you know, my Rebbe said we may not be able to use the word equally tragic. He wrote in a very story, he said it, he printed it, that the tragedy of spinsterhood is worse than that of bachelorhood, and his tavla mesa, he puts it, kimea shamayim al haaretz. Those are his words. It will always be that way. Even though, in my view, you can still subscribe to what my Rebbe said, and say that the level is largely reduced based on financial independence. I don't think I'm going against my Rebbe when I say that. But my heart goes out. Of course, it's terrible. It's a tragedy. I agree with you. Anyway, yeah?
So what exactly is the iser or halakhic complexity of, I guess, a donor's sperm? Is that
for a married woman or for a single woman?
For a single woman, as in...
A single woman should not be having children. I told you I called it a chumash and rashi, and that the whole yisod of having children in the Jewish perspective is in the context of a family.
So even if it's, as so it has nothing to do whether the sperm is from a non-Jew or a Jew.
Nothing to do with that.
Okay. So how about, I guess, like test tube babies? Or
against, I mean, no. I'm against bringing babies into the world with a no family.
So if there is, like...
If I knew that a couple is getting divorced, you know what? We want to have kids. We'll get married. We'll be married for 2 days. Or, I don't know, for 2 weeks. We'll come pregnant, and then we'll get divorced. I'm against that too.
That's the sad reality of what's happening.
That's the tragedy. That's why some of my rabbinic colleagues, they spoke about in the past, have advocated contraception across the board for a year because of the unfortunate rise in quickie divorces.
I
refuse to go along with that, even though I stay with my rabbinic colleagues are coming from. We can't mortgage the entire Jewish community to a small minority of cases, even if it's increasing, it's still a small minority. It's a single digit sum, that of these quickie divorces. I'm sorry?
Even, what's it called? Actually, just like a separate question. Like, can a couple do, like, so, say a couple of married, can they just, like, for whatever reason, can, like, he donate and just, like, I don't know, why would they have initial? Never mind.
No, I want to end this year because I don't like to go late. What I discovered is by accident, we've been speaking about some of the obligations of a wife to a husband. Yeah. I discovered, I printed something about this. I forgot. I completely forgot. I'm so consistent with what I, you know, I say. I forgot that I actually printed this. So you can get it online. Beis Yitzchak of Lamed Ches, Kof Shin Samavav. That's 2006. As a discussion, it's fascinating what I have over here. I completely forgot about this. On page 187. So I quoted the discussion. I'll read you from it's so fascinating how I. What should I write? I quoted the story of the Rambam Perkei Gimel Hilchos Yud Aleph, go out of the house once a month. And I quoted the story over here that I heard that a Kerlik went and told his Rambam, and she went to Rabbi Yosef at a monthly fast. I didn't say the monthly fast. And he called the guy in and yelled at him. And I wrote over here as well, quote, Ein b'koach abal lidrosh mi ishto, top line of page 187, mash lo nog. Afshnims came by Rambam. Uchemeduva shibis manenu. Lo nog sheisher o chetes ragle bala. Umemela patur milazes came. I rest my case. Have a good chance. More here, but we'll talk about it as we go.
So.